Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears that it may bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I think with all that's going on in my life right now, I've fallen into a little bit of a preaching rut as we've worked our way through Paul's letters to the Ephesians. Because for the last several weeks, I've started each sermon by asking you what picture certain words call to mind. In Ephesians 4, I asked you what you were eager for, what you were excited for, as we heard Paul's exhortation to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then in Ephesians 5, I asked you what you thought of when you heard walk carefully, as we walk carefully through our lives as the children of God. And then last week was the word submit, as we meditated on God's gift of design, his order for creation. But if you'll humor me just one more time, and I promise I'll find a different way to approach next week's sermon, today I want you to picture what comes to mind when you hear the word strength. Strong. You think of a strong cup of coffee or another strong drink. Maybe think of a strong person, like a bodybuilder, construction worker. Do you picture a different kind of strength? Someone with mental strength, emotional strength, the kind of person you lean on and rely on when life gets tough. Or maybe you think of a strong court case or a strong argument. But what about Paul's words to us today from Ephesians? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. What does strong mean in that context? What kind of strength is Paul talking about? You see, this is the conclusion of Paul's letter. This is the last thing Paul wants to say to the Ephesians. Back when I was coaching basketball, I was told that when you call a timeout and bring the players over for a huddle, they're only going to remember the last thing you say to them before you send them back onto the court. So save the best for last. What message has Paul saved for last? What does Paul mean by his final words, "Be strong in the Lord"? I think to understand it, we have to consider the different types of strength, different ways that strength shows itself. The most obvious is what we call dynamic strength. It's the ability to overcome a force, the ability to lift heavy objects, the kind of strength necessary to move a pastor's furniture out of his family's apartment and into a rental house, lugging boxes of books, shelving units, whatever else the family has accumulated over the years. But that's not the only kind of strength. There's also what you might call a static strength, the ability to withstand great pressure. It doesn't involve going anywhere or moving anything. In fact, the things with the strongest static strength aren't moved at all. That's why we call them strong. A bridge that can support the weight of semi-trucks hauling their trailers across the Rio Grande. Or a skyscraper built on the Gulf Coast that doesn't snap in half under the pressure of hurricane-force winds. If something has static strength, it can support the burden placed onto it. So what does Paul have in mind when he tells us to be strong in the Lord? You see, I think sometimes we're tempted that we are to think that we're only called to this dynamic strength. We hear the imagery of the full armor of God. We immediately think of a soldier preparing for battle. The soldier takes up his helmet, grabs his shield and his sword, and goes forth to conquer the world for Jesus. But that's not what Paul's saying here. And Satan knows that's not what Paul's saying here. And so Satan likes to use a false picture of the armor of God to tempt us into a mindset to walk down a road that ultimately ends in despair. Satan wants us to feel like we're failing if we're not winning the fight against the sinful world around us. He wants us to fully embrace that role of culture warrior. He wants us to take the fight to all the so-called woke companies and to boycott things and to stir things up. But it's not because Satan wants the church to actually change the world. It's because he knows we will never rid the world of sin. He knows that that kind of battle is destined to fail from the start. And so his goal is to tempt us to focus on people's outward behavior in order to distract us from the gospel of forgiveness. His goal is to get us to see other people as our enemies, rather than as fellow sinners who need repentance and forgiveness. And ultimately, his goal is to get us to feel like we've failed when we can't change the world around us. And even more, when we think that we're called to demonstrate this type of aggressive strength, we'll only do the exercises that develop it. When a dancer wants to get a stronger core to improve her turns, she doesn't grab the dumbbells and do bicep curls. When a cyclist wants to increase his endurance, he doesn't adopt a workout routine of a professional football player. No, there are specific exercises a person does to improve specific parts of their dynamic strength, their power. Satan wants us to see the armor of God as something we wear on an invasion campaign of the world around us. But it's a trick. It's a devilish sleight of hand. He would have us become so fixated on the problems in the world around us, so focused on building the skills and the strength that we need to take the fight to the world around us, that we end up blind to our own vocations. And pretty soon, we're ignoring the needs of our own children as we spend all of our time and energy demanding a culture of family values from the movie industry, or music industry. We find ourselves ignoring the needs of our own marriage as we seek to enforce family values on the world around us. Satan would have us ignore our own vocations and instead pour all of our energy and effort into truly changing the culture around us. And he tells us that if we don't do that, we're letting our Lord down. We've somehow failed if we don't see real change in the world. Now please don't mishear me. I'm not saying that we should not speak the word of truth into the world around us. Of course we should. And I'm not suggesting that we just barricade ourselves into the church building and leave the world to itself. Of course not. I'm not advocating that we turn a blind eye to sin in our culture. I'm saying that what Paul is pointing us to is not an attack of dynamic strength of a warrior. What Paul is pointing us to is the static strength of a bridge or a building. That's the call to be strong in the Lord. Did you hear how many times Paul used the word stand? Be strong in the Lord and stand firm in his might. It's a call to hold our ground. Not to go out and seek a fight with the world around us, but to hold our ground as the world around us comes at us. As the devil comes after us. As we wrestle with our own sinful flesh. You see, we don't need to pick a fight with the sinful world. If we simply speak God's truth and live God's truth, the fight will find us. And so Paul tells us to stand firm. And so Paul's words are actually words of comfort. Because Paul does not give us the exercises to go make ourselves strong. He doesn't say, be strong in the Lord, and here's the sit-ups or the spiritual bicep curls to do. His call is to be strengthened. He tells us to be strong, but instead of giving us a bunch of exercises, he gives us the image of armor. He points us to a strength that comes from outside of ourselves, a strength that covers us in the battle we live each day. Strength that God gave you in your baptism when he covered you with the robe of Christ's righteousness. It's the strength that our Lord gives you when you kneel at this rail to feast on the sacrament of forgiveness. It's not a strength that comes from within. It's an armor that protects us. That's the true gift of the armor of God. That you are covered with Christ. You are covered with his righteousness. You have the belt of truth because you have Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. You have the breastplate of righteousness because Jesus is the righteousness that comes from God, and he covers you. You have the shield of faith because you have Jesus and his promises that protect you when the devil would shoot arrows of anxiety at you. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth, because you have Jesus, the Word made flesh. He's the only weapon that can harm Satan. His sacrifice on the cross is the only weapon that will drive the devil away. Jesus is the armor of God, and so we rely on his strength. The purpose of armor is to protect you. Jesus protects you. He protects you from Satan's schemes, his schemes to get you to sin, his temptations to doubt, his temptation to abandon the life God has given you. Now, in your baptism, our Lord gave you armor. And in the gift of communion, our Lord mends that armor. Because you don't need me to tell you that your armor will take a beating in daily life. You take up the cross that our Lord gives you. We wrestle with the reality of our own sin, the things that we've done that we're ashamed of, the things that we left undone that we know we should have. Satan sends a volley of arrows your direction. Grief, shame, guilt, despair, anxiety, fear. Your armor gets banged up in daily life. So our Lord invites you to this altar to have your armor repaired. Here in the body and blood of Christ himself is not only the medicine for your soul, but the repair for your armor. So that you leave this place covered in new armor, protected by our Lord, prepared to stand firm against the assaults of the devil, whatever they may be. For you leave this place filled with the righteousness of Christ himself. Therefore, my encouragement to you today is the same one that Paul offered to the Ephesians. You have the whole armor of God, so take it up. The armor which our Lord has given you, the armor of his Son, who covers you with himself, so that you may be able to withstand the evil day in which we live. Fight the good fight against the world around you. Fight the good fight against sin. But don't be surprised or discouraged if you don't see the world changing for the better. Simply live in your vocations. Trust the gift of forgiveness. Stand firm against the attacks of the evil one. And your Lord will walk with you all the way. He will cover you all the way, for he is your armor. And he will keep you safe until the day of his return. In Jesus' name, amen.